Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Tara.
Well, an epic rally yesterday.
Yes.
By Trump. But then what other kind does he ever have?
Well, it's like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Go big or go home.
Yeah, go big or go home, right? Okay. So Floppy Joe.
Floppy Joe.
Floppy Joe, as he will hence be known when we are not calling him Joe China on this show. Floppy Joe managed to attract 6,000 to his rally kickoff. Pretty good.
Congratulations.
For the pre-Trump era.
Yeah.
Trump had a crowd of 25,000, but those were the ones who were able to get tickets.
Just got in, yeah.
Yeah, there was another 75,000 who did not. Joe can't say that.
But I understand that there was like video screens and food trucks and everything outside.
Oh, yeah, they got to see it.
Yeah.
It's just the numbers that wanted tickets. I mean,
right.
He could have filled 100,000 arena. Yeah. I mean, that would have been something to behold, but the site was smaller.
I love the stat that Rush gave yesterday. He was checking on this, and he was talking about that on an average day, his information is on an average day, Disney World has 53,000 visitors, 53,000 average a day at Disney World. So Trump had twice the number of people who wanted to see him in that same geographical area in Orlando than Disney World would have on an average day.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, Trump rally or Space Mountain?
Yeah, exactly.
Clearly Trump rally.
Yeah.
Better than Space Mountain, right?
Yeah, that'll make you sick.
It's, well, Space Mountain, you know what's going to happen. You know what I mean? That's the difference. Trump rally, you have no idea.
Yeah.
You want to be there, right?
Exactly.
But it's going to be something. And this was Trump's, well, you know what? Okay, I got to tell you, let me start with this. This was my favorite line here. He basically gets at how, and there's a much longer quote, and I'll play that one later, but how essentially, it's my pet peeve, how subpoenas no longer apply to deep staters or Democrats or the Department of Justice. They're highly optional. If you feel that you want to comply, awesome. If you would like to just destroy the evidence under subpoena from Congress, that will be fine too. If you're a Democrat, if you're a Republican, oh my God. And that's, Trump got at this. He said, listen, you know, Hillary is destroying this stuff. These emails, they were under subpoena from Congress. I mean, like, can you imagine if Trump did that? We found out Trump destroyed evidence under subpoena of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be impeached.
Oh, yeah.
The Republican leadership would be right there with the Democrats going along with it, saying they had no choice.
Can you imagine if I got a subpoena? Think of this. If I got a subpoena for emails, if I deleted one email like a love note to Melania, it's the electric chair for Trump.
That's great.
Yeah.
That was great.
It's so true, though.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like you say, oh, well, you know, he's exaggerating hyperbole for effect. Well, no, they would be demanding he be tried for treason.
No.
They would. I mean, to say the electric chair for Trump, that's not too much of an exaggeration. That is how over the top the media is right now. I mean, they are way past rational. They're just nuts. I liked this line too.
Our economy is the envy of the world. A vote for any Democrat in 2020 is a vote for the rise of radical socialism and the destruction of the American dream. So don't ever forget, this election is about you.
Yeah.
That's not an exaggeration either.
No, and it really is. And especially after we had a president who spent 8 years talking about I. And as narcissistic as I think that Trump is, just like pretty much any president has got to be, he does talk about you, the American people, all the time.
Yeah.
And if you look at the policies that this administration is trying to enact and is doing, they're things that benefit your average American citizen. Increasing the increasing the whole economy. I mean, growing the U.S. economy the way that he is, reducing taxes, trying to make things safer, trying to secure the border, trying to keep us safe within this country, and trying to do the things constitutionally that the executive office should do. And that's who its campaign is about. It is about the American, and that's how he got elected. I mean, you look at that. Yeah, he may have lost the popular vote, but he did the right things to get the electoral votes, which is how you get elected president in this country, and was able to do that by taking that to the people. When you had another candidate on the other side who basically felt like they were above all that.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, when he talks about, they want to destroy the American dream. They want to destroy the American way of life. I know they're going to be shaking their heads on all the cable news channels this morning. Oh, that's an exaggeration. Well, no. I mean, here's Joe Biden from last week. His words, not mine. While speaking, of course, at a $2,800 a head fundraiser, he said he wanted to reorder capitalism. Not reorder the economy or change it some little way. Reorder capitalism, like as an operational system for the country.
So how, just think about the implications of that. If you were going to reorder capitalism, what does that mean for your salary? What does that mean for your benefits? What does that mean for your retirement? What does that mean for your investments? What does that mean for your property values? What does that mean for your taxes? You are going to reorder capitalism. That would have just the thought of it is, to me, unconstitutional, of reordering capitalism.
Of course it is. Well, OK, well, you say, OK, what would that be like? You're asking some great questions. What would that mean for your property and blah, blah, blah. All right. We watched them reorder health care.
Oh, yeah, that worked.
Yeah. The price of premiums, that's the total cost of your health care plan per year, doubled. It doubled. It's a little more than doubled, actually. It was like 104% increase. And that was according to the Department of Health and Human Services of the federal government. Oh, and they also said your health care premium, again, the premium is the total cost you pay every year for your health care plan. They said it would go down for a family of four by $2,500. It went up. So that's what reordering health care looked like. You know, history is the best predictor of the future.
Yeah, yeah.
He says some things, as Biden, some things have changed in a way that needs to be turned around. He says it requires sort of reordering capitalism to make capitalism work and save it. We got to save it. See, I got to save it the way we save healthcare.
Yeah, please. Capitalism is doing just fine on its own. In fact, it would do better if we further got out of its way, if we further got government out of it and intervening in it. I mean, good grief. You can start with the central bank and go all the way, you know, to all kinds of regulations and tax policy. But no, the only reason capitalism doesn't work any better than it does, which is already working great right now in this country.
Oh, yeah.
Is because of government intervention.
Yep. I mean, and if you look at what Trump did, and this would work again just as well for anybody else. Nancy Pelosi could try it and it would work. This is not a Trump thing. All Trump did was get the government out of the way. Mm-hmm. That's all he did. He didn't come in with smart government policies that make it better for everybody, which the Democrats always promised to do but never seemed to pull off. He just got them out of the way. He stripped the regulations. I mean, when the CEO of U.S. Steel says, hey, I'm coming back to the U.S. with 10,000 jobs, and this is like the month after the election, and the CNBC hosts are so stunned, they're arguing with him, like, do you really want to do that? And they ask him, well, why? I mean, keep in mind, there hadn't even been the tax cut yet. He said, because Trump has promised me he will strip these regulations. In other words, get government out of the way. What's the best way to have, prosperity for a country? Just get the government the heck out of the way. It's it. Simple. It's not hard to understand.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app. Now, going above and beyond the call of dunderheadedness.
The people really are stupid out there. I hate to say it. They're stupid.
The Tara Show presents Stupidity in South Carolina.
So you're on social media. You didn't mean to be on social media, but you somehow wandered in there by, when you saw a compelling post, checking your email, and then before you know it, an hour's gone. You ever done that? Oh, I hate that. So while you're on social media, some guy you don't know insults you. What do you do? Write him a tersely worded response or find his house and execute him. I'm going with option A. This genius went with option B, which led to a, are you ready for this, drive-by shooting here in Greenville. I bet this was gang-related. And none of the media saying it was. They probably don't know, but I bet it was. Police arrested this genius, 19-year-old Jermaine Allen Gibson Jr. He was on Facebook, on social media, and he did not like a response to something he wrote. So guess what he did? He looked up, I kid you not, got into an agreement, disagreement on social media, looked up, figured out where the guy lived, didn't know him at all, and drives to his house. How'd that work out? Not so good. I'll tell you what, people are crazy. You got to watch them. You want to let them know how bad their driving is in traffic? Man, you do not know who you're communicating with. Yeah, you got to watch you put on social media. I mean, these people are nuts. Deputies got a call from Mayflower Avenue here in Greenville around 1:20 a.m. because a white car had pulled up, stopped in front of the home. One person gets out of the car and opens fire, which is totally how you deal with a post on social media you disagree with, a disagreement you're having on social media. Tammy Cochran said her son CJ Jarrett was sitting on the front porch enjoying a cigarette when he was hit repeatedly by the gunfire. Cochran appeared in bond court as Gibson faced the judge saying, quote, he didn't just shoot up my house. He tried to kill my son. His intentions when he came to our house were to kill my son and to kill us. Cochran said her son was hit 4 times. 2 bullets hit him in the abdomen, the arm, and 2 more in the arm and the artery. Ooh, what a mess. The son was rushed to the hospital in critical condition. Cochran says he's undergone 3 surgeries, and doctors are considering a possible leg amputation. Bullets also entered the home, damaging doors and walls inside. When asked about her son's condition, Cochran fought back tears and said he has a long road ahead of him. He's progressing every day, but as far as getting up and being normal, I'm not sure. Neither are the doctors. She also said, though, my heart hurts for him talking about the shooter, you know, because he's ruined his life for nothing, Cochran said. She assumes we have a functioning justice system, doesn't she? Yeah, she's in South Carolina. She has no idea. Well, he didn't kill that young man. So, look, folks, what do you think? What do you think? He's out in 8 months? Time served? You give it 8 months? You think judge will go that high? I mean, come on. It's just 4 bullets, an artery, and a potential amputation. Okay. I don't know who's stupider. This guy, 19-year-old Jermaine Allen Gibson Jr., the shooter, or the people running our court system, or some of these prosecutors and judges. Look, we already know the defense attorneys are plumb crazy. They do their job. They try to get you the minimum. That's their job. I got no problem with that. It's the prosecutors and the judges that are like, yeah, sure, that'll be fine. He attempted to execute that young man, but hey, it was only his first attempted execution. Let's give him 8 months, if that. No. What do you want to bet? It'll be 8 months suspended for physical assault. What do you want to bet? I don't know. I just put it in my file. I can't wait to see what some idiot judge does with this. We'll make them famous. Texter writes on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line 71307. Good morning, Tara and Lee. You guys are awesome. Thank you. But conservative punditry needs to stop saying Trump lost the popular vote. We don't know that. We've never gotten an accurate vote count that excluded fraudulent votes for the left. That is true. You are right. The outcome of the popular vote going at least back to 2008 is utterly unknowable. Just from the illegal immigrants voting in North Carolina alone. I didn't even get into the other states. Texter writes, Trump may have sailed away with the popular vote as well as the electoral, but the left one sure will never know. It's my biggest fear for this year. They underestimated him. They won't this time. They would have just cheated on a higher level. And when people ask me, is Trump going to win this race? I get that question all the time. My answer, a fair contest, Trump wins, I think. I mean, but we just, folks, we just watched in the midterms one of the most stunning things I've ever seen, except for dual justice in Hillary's case. We literally watched two counties in Florida make up 80,000 votes, just find them after the legal 7 p.m. the night of the election deadline. You can't file. I mean, you got to turn in the total number of votes, right? You can't be like, oh, and it's Thursday and I'm going to add 40,000 more. Yeah, it's illegal. They did it anyway. No one stopped them. They pushed the law aside, counted the votes. So, I mean, if you can make up 80,000, you should go find 80,000 votes. Oh, by the way, they were legally delivered, too. There's a secure process where they have to be carried from the machine to the car or whatever. Nah, they're just chunking boxes in cars and driving in. And every one of them counted. So the vote total is what the Democrats say it is. Nobody goes to prison. And, I mean, if you did 80,000 last time, I mean, honestly, I'd go 160 this time. Why not? Because it's going to be a miracle if he wins Florida. I mean, he'll win Florida. But, I mean, if the vote total says he won Florida. That was a trial run, folks. They're going to have legal teams in place, I tell you what. To the Common Sense Retirement Planning at text line we go. Texter writes, the only way Trump could lose is if Obama gave Trump his full unconditional endorsement. Even then, I could be wrong. Texter writes, talking about Joe Biden promising to reorder capitalism. What would it mean? Pay more to keep what you work for because the government wants to take it from you, because how dare you try to do it for yourself rather than suck the government bosom. Texter H, morning, Tara. My applause meter tells me the loudest applause, I think they mean last night for the Trump rally, was when he mentioned the Second Amendment. Yes, it is another beautiful morning in Greer. Well, it is. All right, let's jump in with this real quick. One of my favorite clips from the 2020 campaign kickoff rally by Trump. It's today's first epic rant. Here you go.
The Democrats don't care about Russia. They only care about their own political power. They went after my family, my business, my finances, my employees, almost everyone that I've ever known or worked with. But they are really going after you. That's what it's all about. Not about us, it's about you. They tried to erase your vote, erase your legacy of the greatest campaign and the greatest election probably in the history of our country. And they wanted to deny you the future that you demanded. And the future that America deserves and that now America is getting. Our radical Democrat opponents are driven by hatred, prejudice, and rage. They want to destroy you and they want to destroy our country as we know it. Not acceptable. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen.
God, I love this man. I'm having more fun than I should be allowed to have. I really am, as Rush says all the time. I'm going to miss him so much when he's gone. Anyway, speaking of being gone, just put your imagination cap on for a moment. Attempt to comprehend. Just, if I were to tell you this morning, breaking news from the Trump rally last night. And if Trump had said a thing like this, this would be wall-to-wall news this morning. This would go on for days. In fact, the second I heard it, I would probably have my forehead in my hand shaking and going, oh God, not again, not another gaffe, because he does do gaffes. If Trump had gotten up on that stage in front of all those people and called for a physical revolution, time for us to start a physical revolution, physically revolt, not, you know, a rhetorical revolution or, you know, we got to work within the system to have a revolution. No, a physical revolution, like a war. Yeah, like our founding was a physical revolution. Like that. Can you imagine? And the headlines wouldn't be inaccurate if Trump had said it. I'd be like, oh, no. They'd be hiring more security at CNN, flipping out. Trump weaponizes supporters to violence. Trump calls supporters to violence. That'd be the headline. And they wouldn't be wrong. I mean, when you call for a physical revolution, that's a call to violence. That's what that is. And so if Trump had done that last night, it would be all that on the stump. It would be all anybody would talk about for the rest of the week. It would probably go on for weeks. It would be referred to for the rest of the campaign. It would be viewed as a major gaffe. Thank God Trump didn't say it. Biden did. Did you hear this? As I play this for you, attempt to just even to imagine if Trump had said such a thing on the stump as Biden did.
And so, folks, look, if you start off with the notion there's nothing you can do, well, why don't you all go home then, man? Or let's start a real physical revolution if you're talking about it.
Okay. Joe Biden is sitting there on stage. It's like a campaign event. April Ryan, CNN political reporter and political analyst, is sitting right there along with three other journalists. They got microphones. They're asking him questions. Do they follow up? Can you remember the last president who called for a physical revolution by his followers? Presidential candidate. President. Politician? No. No, this is unprecedented. I mean, he just made major news. There's no reaction. Again, attempt to imagine if Trump had said this last night. The absolute uproar. Let me tell you how it would have gone. Do you remember back when Trump would hold rallies? And just, you know, because Trump's existence made people angry, Antifa would attack Trump supporters, beating them, throwing eggs in their faces, trashing their cars outside of Trump rallies. They'd beat up cops. They would trash other people's cars. They'd trash the street. They would vandalize. And do you remember Marco Rubio, Paul Ryan, and I'm ashamed to say Ted Cruz, got on television and condemned, not Antifa, Trump. It's Trump's fault. Now, Cruz was running against him at the time. It was Trump's fault. Because, you know, Trump once made that one comment. Well, you know, a guy ought to be right. You know, we take him out of here. Remember, he said, get his coat, it'll be cold. Something to that effect. The media is still referring to that hysterically. You know, this is why we have violence. You mean like the liberal dude who shot up the congressional baseball game, nearly killing Steve Scalise? You mean like that? I mean, to say what Biden said after a guy already went to Washington in an attempt to assassinate Republicans. Oh, my God, if Trump had done this.
And so, folks, look, if you start off with the notion there's nothing you can do, well, why don't you all go home then, man? Or let's start a real physical revolution if you're talking about it.
Wow. Can you imagine if Trump had said that in front of a CNN reporter with a microphone who could ask him questions? Because they were asking questions on stage. Do you think the CNN reporter would be like, he doesn't mean it. Let him off the hook. Oh, heck no. They'd have freaked. Trump bad for the country. Pushing followers to violence. Now, here's the irony. I just went through the list of all those Republicans, Paul Ryan, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, condemning Trump for holding rallies because it made the leftists mad, so he should stop holding rallies. Well, if y'all care about violence, where are you this morning? Where's GOP? Where are they? Biden just called for a physical revolution, folks. Politically speaking, rhetorically speaking, that's like your Democrat opponent walking up to the noose, sticking his head in and going, hey, y'all, somebody kick this stand over for me. Could you sense it? And the Republicans are like, no, you could hurt yourself or your campaign. Where are these people? The ones so concerned with violence. Where's Ted Cruz? Where's Marco Rubio? Lindsey Graham? Mitch McConnell? Dude, he teed it up for you. Okay, morons. This is what you do. You hold a press conference. Doesn't have to be long. I don't even take questions. Condemning Biden for his calls to physical revolution. Condemning Biden for calling for violence. And saying the country needs a more level-headed solution. This ain't hard, folks. It's not hard. A sixth grader could do it. But they won't, will they? They just won't do it. All right, we were talking about the last segment. Floppy Joe. I'm sorry. Floppy Joe, as they're calling him now. China's our enemy. China's not our enemy. Okay, maybe China is our enemy. I forgot. It's so hard to figure these things out. Called for a physical revolution. Something that the whole GOP leadership would have been hauled up by the media and forced to condemn. And I wouldn't blame them for having to condemn it. I mean, you can't let a thing like that stand. The Democrats have to answer for that? No. And what was even, I mean, you watch the video. It is unbelievable. He is sitting there on the stage. There are four reporters behind him because they've been asking him questions. One of whom is April Ryan with CNN. They don't follow up. They're just sitting there nodding. Yeah, yeah, like physical revolution. That'll be great. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Sorry. The man just called for a physical revolution. That's a war, y'all. Yeah, yeah, we know. But then again, I mean, when you got Chris Cuomo out there, one of their anchors, saying, you know, that if you personally decide yourself as a liberal, that somebody is a white supremacist. And Don Lemon said the same thing. If you personally feel they are a white supremacist, if you can tell by looking at them that it is okay to beat them. I mean, so that was explained. But this is new. Texter writes, Joe owns every bit of violence from here on out. Well, on this show he does. Media pretend he didn't say it. See, and this, you know what this gives? This is such a lie that they care. We just care so much about the rhetoric. We're being oppressed by this president. He's taken away the First Amendment. Why? Because when we say stuff, he questions it. It's almost a call to violence. Well, but I mean, was it an actual call to violence? Well, no. Well, that was. Texter writes, what's Biden going to do with his 24 rally attendees? He could barely start a softball team, much less overthrow the government. All right, it wasn't 24. It was 85 at his last rally. And to be fair, okay, so Trump got 25,000 at the convention or at the center that he gave a speech at. 100,000 applied for tickets, but they didn't have that much space. They couldn't grant all the tickets. It's fire hazards and stuff. Joe did 6,000 to Trump's 100,000 that we know at least wanted to be there. So what does that say? I don't know, but it's what it is. Texter writes, to be fair, we are only one leftist administration away from that physical revolution. Well, yeah, I mean, if Joe Biden wins, he just called for the revolution. I mean, a physical revolution. So, I mean, I can't disagree with you. That's the agenda now. I love you guys, but you kill me when you text me this. See, should I even read this? If I don't read it, you'll say, you don't read the text line. If I do, they'll say, see? Texter writes, good morning, Tara. If Trump would have hypothetically called for war, we would have gone. Well, you go first, buddy. Not the way to solve our problems at this time. Texter writes, Tara, wake up. A physical revolution to stand up Chuck Biden would be having a thumb war. Oh, a thumb war. I gotcha. Thumb war. Love this. All right. Meanwhile, you see this? Oh, you know what? Before I get to this, I want to play the rest of this clip. So I started this yesterday. I never finished it, and I should have. Chris Matthews is concerned about all this. Take a listen to what his concern is, the mistake he thinks the Democrats are making. He actually said this on MSLSD.
They've been looked down on. A friend of mine once said people don't like, he talked to us about relationships with men and women. He said people don't mind being used, but they mind being discarded.
Yeah,
and the Democrats have a lot of people out there who feel discarded by them, and they're not too happy about it.
Well, Chris, last week MSNBC...
And by the way, don't look at... people look down their nose. It's one thing to disagree about abortion rights. We all have our own personal views and nuances, by the way. A lot of nuances on that fight. But don't make fun of the other side. Don't make fun of the pro-life people. Don't think they're lowbrows because they're not as sophisticated as you are. I think there's a lot of that attitude that creeps into the vote. Oh, not only disagree with me, they look down on me for caring about life. Oh, I get it. I'm not one of them. I know that. And that's the attitude. Look, Trump played the life vote brilliantly in Pennsylvania last time. He'll probably do it again. You got to be careful about whose feelings you are definitely hurting.
No, they don't care. They don't care. If you're not with them, you're a racist xenophobe. Homophobe. Islamophobe. Xenophobe, Islamophobe, homophobe. Sexist, racist. But wait, I didn't get to finish what I was saying. Sexist! Racist. Texter writes, Tara, that's Marxism coming out of Bite Me's mouth. So says Steve. Yeah. Another texter writes, yeah, maybe Biden was talking about a purge. I don't know. None of the reporters on stage bothered to follow up with that question.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.